Without a doubt, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life was planting a church, because church planting is hard. And one of the biggest challenges that most church planters have is building a crowd. Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk about the ways that we recommend church plants build that crowd by presenting the ultimate church plant marketing plan. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 87. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, yeah, as always, someone the other day said that I saw you were a guest on that podcast, and I said, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a guest every week.
So. Every single week, we get to spend time together on this, and got a good conversation here today. We're going to be talking about building the ultimate church plant marketing plan. This is a conversation we get to have every once in a while. We work with a lot of church plants, and we get to kind of coach some of them through this. Our services, we offer some of these things at Reach Right. Most of them we don't at the same time, so yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the ways that we consult or coach churches on how to do outreach, how to do marketing to do a successful church plant. Now, I was talking with my church, not a church plant. I was talking with my church this week, though, and we were talking about how the way that we marketed churches and church plants 20 years ago is 100% different from the way that we do it today. It is like there is nothing that my church did when it started that we would still recommend doing now because that was back in the days of doing yellow page ads and doing door-to-door. I guess you could still do door-to-door stuff perhaps. But mailers, those kinds of things were big. You and I, we know
door
that...
Door hangers.
Yeah, absolutely. As kind of that door-to-door stuff. But the... You and I, we worked for years for a company that got its start doing television commercials for churches, which we don't recommend necessarily that you do television commercials for churches. But if you really do want to do television for commercial for your church, we still have the rights to some of those television commercials. I don't really recommend them, but I guess for some churches, they still do like to do those kinds of things. So hit us up if you want to buy some rights or be able to broadcast some television commercials against our recommendation. We'll put that out here right
now.
That's
it.
Anyway, but it is totally changed. And it has even changed from when you and I planted a church. You and I planted a church in 2007. We started one. And some of these things are really different even from what we did. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, some are different and some still hold true. We're not that old yet.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I hope this is helpful. I think this could be helpful to any church, whether you're a church plant or not. I think really these things are great for existing churches as well. Almost everything on here are things that you can and probably should be doing if you're an existing church. But I think especially for plants, what we try to do is even an order of what we would do thing one all the way to the end. This is the order of how we would do marketing if we were starting a church from scratch right now. The first thing we would do. So I'll go ahead and kick us off. The first thing you should do is you should get yourself a logo. Before you do anything else, your church, this is going to be something you're going to use on everything else you do in marketing. So the first thing I would do if I was starting a church is getting a logo. You're going to put it on all of the other items that we talk about here. You're going to use it everywhere, and it is going to to be that identifier that everybody is going to need to see. Logos, they come in all different shapes, or prices and price points and detail work. You could go on to Fiverr and have someone give them, you know, $5 to $50 to make a logo for you.
Right.
You could go on to 99 Designs and you could do a design contest to get a logo. we do logo design and branding work at ReachRight. There's other companies out there that offer logo design where people pay tens of thousands of dollars for logo design. So there's everything, there's all kinds of price points for this. I think you just have to take a look at your budget as a church plant, figure out where it kind of lines up. For a lot of church plants, it's going to be that 99 Designs or that Fiverr approach. I've seen some people get really good results with those sites, and you know, you don't have the full scale branding package with that, but you know, you could probably get by on something like that. I will say this though, it is something that you don't want to be changing this every every 2 years or something. Your logo, you get it going and you want it to be the same logo for, you know, the next 15 years ideally, that it would have a long lifespan, because changing a logo is rebuilding your brand in a lot of ways. I think that's something to keep on.
Think about if Nike removed the swoosh, or Apple, you know, made it an orange or something instead. So, you know, and you hit it on the head. I mean, even though trends change and those things, I mean, think about that. That swoosh has been timeless, you know, for Nike. And same thing. It's just, you don't want people. I think we saw this a little while back, some data that said that logos are 10 times more likely to be remembered than any other graphic marketing stuff that you do. And if you think about that, you know, if you get a new logo, I mean, it's almost kind of like starting your church over in a way. Not totally, but it's starting all the way over as far as being remembered in that
being
identity.
Recognizable, right.
Being recognizable. That's it. So they're very important. You don't want to, I tell churches this all the time, that, and we understand when a church is starting out, they're on a budget. You know, some churches have bigger budgets than others starting out, and they're at a different financial place. But I would say you still don't, you don't want to play this too cheap, for sure.
And so I think that that's, you know, you can really make your own decision based on your church's price point. We try to, with our product, we try to price it kind of right in the middle of that happy medium between the 99 Designs, you know, cheap price, and then the $10,000, you know, full service. But you probably want to do some concepts and revisions, and you know, have some things to bounce off. You probably want a lot of the branding pieces that go with it, because that's all stuff we're going to talk about here in just a second. But don't skimp on this, I think, is the main thing. And don't try to get ahead of yourself. Don't rush to other elements, or, you know, don't hit other parts that we're going to talk about in this plan until you have this logo done. You probably don't have any business doing a lot of the other stuff we're going to be talking about here today. Why don't you get the next one for us?
Next one's build a website. I mean, this is the closest thing your church will have to a location until you launch as a new church. And also, it is where for years now, pre-pandemic and even further back, where 85% of people will end up before they physically attend a church. What most people are doing now is they're Googling everything from their phones. And Google is actually looking to drive traffic to the website first and foremost. And even if someone finds you, hears about you through word of mouth or whatever, they're going to still end up going to the website, you know, almost 90% of the time. So I've had so many churches that tell, you know, we of course do church web design here at ReachRight, have done it really well for a long time, and have a lot of churches that come our way and they, hey, Ian, we're launching in a few weeks. We need a website. I'm like, man, we should have talked to you about, you know, almost a year ago. About a year ago, because this is something that you want well up in advance before you launch, for people to learn more about you, find out what your vision is all about, and your launch date and everything else.
I think you said it right, that it is the closest thing you have to a Sunday morning experience, a campus, a place to gather, until you have that actual, that regular meeting place that you're going to there. So it is the place, like you're saying, with where vision statements and calls to action, and it's where you get people to kind of become a part of the community and things on there. So, yeah, it and really, this again is it's second for a reason. You need it to be after your logo because your logo and colors and all that stuff need to be branded onto your website. So that's important. Yeah. But it is important that before you do all of these other things we're going to talk about, that you have something to drive people to. Every other bit of marketing needs to push people to somewhere. And when you're starting a church, you don't have a Sunday morning service to say, go to this or show up at 9 or whatever it would be. You have a website to push them to. So this is something you need to be doing before you touch any other parts that are on here. So I think that's right. Yeah.
Good next stuff. Once you get the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to set up your socials. That's the part number two, is getting your social media channels dialed in. We are very flexible on which social channels churches use.
Yeah.
I think we have kind of a internal ranking of ones that we find to be most useful, or at least most widely used. But a couple of pieces of advice on this is that when you set up your socials, and again, you want to set them up with your brand, so your logo and those things, your colors are all set up properly on there. And then everything you're putting onto your social channels is pushing people back to your website and connecting them on there and building further connection in the content that's on there. But when it comes to which social channels people use, I think it really is a personal preference, or whatever your church is best at, whatever you as a leader is best at. So I think that for most churches, if you're just kind of getting into this and you're kind of even on all social channels, and if I had to just choose a couple, I would say Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Those would be the ones that I think are the most important. And YouTube is important to realize that is a social channel. That is still something that has lots of interaction.
Just think
it's
a video and that's it.
Yeah. It's a video-based social channel where people comment, give feedback, subscribe to one another. It really has all the makings of a social media platform there. So, but those are the three that I think would be the most useful. You know, there's so many others, and I'm sure churches are wondering, do we get on TikTok? Do we get on Snapchat? Do we get on Twitter? Do we use is LinkedIn important for us? Should we have a Pinterest account?
All these I was thinking Pinterest. I was like, you're going to still say Pinterest? It's still around.
My wife still uses Pinterest all the time. She's on Pinterest a lot. Yeah. So
recipes.
I think I signed up for an account at one point.
Yeah.
I went on it once and I was like, there really wasn't anything that interested me on there. So I moved on from that. That was the end of my time there. So, but all of those all could be useful. You know, if you are a pastor who makes 30-second dance videos to Hillsong songs or something like that, or you do Oceans moves and it just kind of millions of people like it, you have every right and should get your TikTok account set up right away and start using that. My guess is most of our audience isn't in that category.
Yeah.
So I really think just because there is a social platform that a lot of people use, it doesn't necessarily mean that your church needs to have a presence on there. And everything seems to show that you are better off having a great presence on a channel or two, and instead of having a crummy presence on 11 different social channels. I think that's the big advice we'd have for our churches.
That is a really good point, for sure. Find out what's best for you, your people that will be launching with you. More importantly, I think, with what you can manage and based on who you're targeting, right? Mm-hmm. So that's good. Well, good. Yeah, okay. I'll get the next one. This is a big one that I think a lot of people don't think about, is start creating content. Mm. There's been a saying in marketing and the web world for a while that content is king, and it still is. Content is a very broad and vast thing too. So this could be a video promo for your launch, of course. Mm-hmm. I think of video first. I mean, the more video you can do, the better. And I think that's fresh on churches' minds now because the pandemic force churches into doing live streaming and thinking about video more, even though this was already vital and video was still something that every church should do before even the pandemic, of course, years prior to the pandemic. So, but people are visual. They want to see. They're watching video all day long on social media, online anyway. So let's, you know, create this content. And it's more than that, too. It could be graphics, could be blog posts, all of those things. I think you got to find out what you're best suited to do right out of the gate. But yeah, start getting that content out there. That's what people are going to see, and that's what they're going to remember you by and grab hold of to take a next step. So
I think this is something that is missed by so many churches is that we think that if we build it, they will come. If we put together a Facebook page and an Instagram page and we have a website with a logo on it, then people will start getting on it. And the truth is that once someone's gone onto your website one time, they can learn everything and have no real need to go back there unless you're creating new content that they need to be seeing on there. So I think you hit it right. I think blog posts are vastly underrated. I think especially for a church plant, usually a church plant, you're really tied to a specific area or community that God has given you a heart for. And so creating content around the what makes that area special, what other organizations are doing a great job in your area, why you're called to do what you're called to do in that specific region, I think that kind of content is really valuable. I do agree with you that video content is really probably one of the most valuable. It's really easy to be repurposed. But if you really, I think sometimes we miss the value of content creation on in a digital platform. So again, these are, we're talking about blog posts, graphics, you know, posts on your social media, video content, those kinds of things. Anything is all, that's all content. But it is so important because really, we have a bigger reach with these tools than we do in normal Sunday morning experiences for most of us. I've said this before, is that I wrote a blog post when I was pastoring a church in Madison, Wisconsin. It was called Four Reasons Why You Should Never Share That Post That Says, Share This If You Love Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I have had, it's not even my website anymore, so I don't own, you know, kind of the way that we do it is that still lives on that church's website. I'm not the pastor of that church anymore. But there have been over a million hits on that one post in its lifespan. It's been like, I don't know, like 9 years now since I've written it. There's been over a million, 1 million hits. So it pains me. To know that like my life's message, like the most important thing I've done in my life is write that one blog post.
Hey, but you know what? I don't see as many of those come my way now. Thankfully, they share this if you love. I think God's used you to minimize that a little bit, Thomas.
God has used that post and it's impacted millions of people. I always felt that my ministry would be fine by how many people I led to Jesus or like how many people that I walked with at our church and you know the hundreds of people that I would preach to on a Sunday morning, not by the million people that I reached through that post that was kind of a little bit silly, poking fun. It was a serious topic at the same time, but all that to say, you can have an enormous reach online. And not every post is going to do that. I wrote one post and the average post that we do here has a couple of thousand hits on it. And it's over the first year of its life. But still, that's a huge reach. I mean, that's more than the vast majority of churches are preaching to, pastors are preaching to on a normal Sunday. So it's a huge opportunity. And that's just blog posts. There's you see YouTube videos that have tens of thousands of views. And I think most pastors have the ability, if they apply themselves, to make that kind of content. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. I will say that too, is that your first YouTube video isn't going to reach 45,000 people on YouTube. You're going to reach like three, and it's going to be your mom and your wife three times or something like that. It's going to be, you know, a small audience, but you know, it's these small steps that continue to grow and have more and more reach and have a bigger impact. So start creating content. The other nice thing about it too is it keeps on going. It keeps on, it's like, it's not just a one-time event. It's content that that post I mentioned before, it still gets hundreds of hits a day of people reading this content that's on there. So it really is something that is a huge opportunity that churches need to be investing in.
Yeah, well said.
Next one is that it's important that you create your Google business profile. This sounds like it's really okay. That's not a hard thing to do. Used to be something called Google My Business. They recently changed a few weeks ago to Google Business Profile. So we want to make sure we give you the right name on that. So when you search it, I'm sure if you search Google My Business, it'll come up still. But it's now called the Google Business Profile. And what this is Google's attempt to connect your church and its physical location, if you have one, connecting it to their map system. So it's not, it's different from organic searching when someone looks for a church and it shows the list of websites. It shows like, it's what's called the map pack. When someone first gets onto a search, they put in churches near me. It's usually those first three results that show on the map and those church locations. And that's driven by your Google business profile and how well that's set up. So getting that dialed in, getting it claimed, first of all, with a good name. Now, if you are a church plant that doesn't yet have a location, if you suspect you'll be in a location and it's pretty sure, but you're not actually meeting yet, that's fine. You can set it up as being there. Our church that I pastored most recently, we met in a community center, and I just chose one end of the community center as kind of our pin on the Google map as where our church met. I don't think it makes sense to have your church office there. Certainly don't put your house as the place where your Google business profile is going to, but put it at the location where you plan to meet. So if it's a school, a rec center, something like that, get it pegged on there and you can start to make those kinds of connections. But really important to do that, getting photos in there, getting your office hours, service times, if you have them yet, getting all that information dialed in, that's going to help your ranking when people look for churches near them and get you onto that map pack. So really an important step.
Yeah, and I think one little thing I'll add to that, you covered mostly everything there on it, but I think what we've seen a lot of churches do is they get the Google business profile set up, but they don't follow all of the steps. You know, there's a lot to get optimized in there, if you will, and steps to take with photos, and even I think at one point you mentioned a video promo can be in there as well. And there's just a lot of different stuff you can do that I think is missed. So do it in detail or get help to do it in detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Retry, we'd be happy to help you get that stuff dialed in. And there's many other things you can do to improve your rank there. And that falls into the category of what's called local SEO or local search engine optimization. We have churches with that all the time. But yeah, this is something that just claiming it, getting it ready and doing your best to optimize it, that will make some kind of a difference so that hopefully people searching for you within a mile or something might wind up seeing your church there. So it's a good step to take.
Good. Awesome. I'll get the next one. And we've talked about this one over and over again. It's something that we help churches with here at Reach Right, but it is also something that a church can just claim and manage on their own if they're able to. And that's use the Google grant. We've talked about this till we're blue in the face, but it's something that we want churches to know about. That's just free money for the taking out there. Google gives 501c3s. Now that's one important thing to mention, that your church, since we're talking about starting churches, a lot of churches start before becoming a 501c3, recognized with the IRS. You want to take that step, and if you did that and you have a website, those are Google's two requirements. If you have those things in place, they will give you up to $10,000 a month in Google ads to use. And that is not an exaggeration. They really do give this grant. This is a big part of Google's brand and one of their ways of giving back to organizations and communities that kind of give back to their community. So it's been out there for well over 7 years. I don't even remember the date that it actually started, but I know how long we've been helping churches with it. But at the same time, 10,000, you heard right, it's out there. These are Google ads, so these would be online ads. Very similar to what we just talked about with the map pack when someone does a search for churches near me or churches in this city or my city, you know, churches in Austin, that's where I'm at. So if someone does churches in Austin, yes, these would be ads that come up usually above the Google map pack there, but or sometimes below. And so very similar to, you know, SEO and getting your Google business profile, but where these are a little bit different too, this can also be if someone is looking for hope for my life, for spiritual answers, or maybe they are looking for a new church startups, or, you know, dynamic preaching. We can go on and on. Think of this as a way to be a little more broad with your reach online and broadly kind of reaching people that are making different kinds of searches.
I think this is a such a no-brainer is that you, if you have your 501c3, and I'll clarify that, is that if you're planning a church with a denomination, a lot of times you won't have your own 501c3, but you will come under your denominational or your region's 501c3. That's fine. You can get approved on that. There's another step you have to get in there to make Google recognize that, but it's definitely something you can do. But this is just, if you have those things in place, which most church plans at some point will, you just need to do this. It's something that's, it really is a free $10,000 every month in Google Ads. You know, would I pay $10,000 a month for this? Probably not. But I think it's worth a lot more than $0 and the effort it takes to go out there and get it. Now, I will say that it is not, I would not call it easy to spend $10,000 of Google's money every month. I think you need, it's not just a turn it on and then you get $10,000 of, there's not going to be that many people looking for churches in Nantucket. That's just not going to happen that often.
Yeah.
Like, so you really have to be creative with some of the ads that you're creating. You mentioned things like need-based ads. So ads around marriage and parenting and divorce and financial challenges and all these things, they all make sense so long as you, your church is ready to offer answers for these kinds of areas. And we know we have the best answer in Jesus Christ for every single one of those kinds of situations. But all that to say, I think that it is, go ahead and get it. Every church plant should get it. Give it a try. I think that most churches will find that, that are able to spend $100 or $200 of Google's money every month if they just make an ad or two around finding churches near them. I think the real opportunity is when you branch out from there and make dozens, if not hundreds, of ads targeting thousands of different keywords around all kinds of topics that churches can help their community with. Another service that we help churches with. But I think the main thing you need to take away from today is that it's something you should claim, get it, and then in the future, when you're ready, it'll be really easy to start. If you wanted to bring someone on to help you with that, you can definitely do that. But it's a no-brainer to go out and claim it. It costs you zero to do it.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Am I up? I guess,
I'm next up on one. The next one,
yep. It's
good run, segue.
Run targeted... Emphasis on the targeted, run targeted Facebook ads. If we were creating a marketing plan for churches, I think the first place that I would spend money on actual getting eyes onto our information would be on Facebook. And the reason for that is that the targeting tools on Facebook, and when I say Facebook, I mean Facebook and Instagram, because it's the exact same parent company of Meta. And you use the same advertising platform to put ads on both. So targeting tools on there are night and day better than any other opportunity that we have as churches to be able to reach people that are most likely to respond to the things that we're out there. So now I get some pushback around this sometimes because people will say, well, you know, we don't want to just reach people that are likely to come. We want to reach people that don't know Jesus yet and people that are like that Jesus went to the least of these and people that were very unlikely. He went to Samaritans and he preached the gospel to them. And I could not agree more. That being said, I think that it doesn't make sense on this particular platform if you have in your mind that, you know, we're going to only target Muslims on our Facebook ads because we want them to come to know Jesus. I think that will be dollars that you're... There's better ways to reach the Muslim community than trying to target them on Facebook and only showing your church ads to people that are in that place. So I think that it makes a lot of sense that you can use some of Facebook's targeting tools, not to target necessarily Christians. We don't want to build a church of all people that are already parts of other churches, but it is a good tool for you to target people that are very specific, the kind of people you feel like you'll best be able to reach. So if you're planting a church, and you and I, we were in our 20s when we planted yeah. the church together, right?
So, gosh, yeah, late 20s, yeah.
Well, you were very late 20s, yeah. I was in my mid-20s still, yeah, so.
1 year. 1 year for our listeners, yeah. Yeah,
that's 2 years right now, but that's okay. Who's counting?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anywho, we were in our 20s when we did this, and as much as we loved people of all ages, and we would have gladly yeah. embraced and welcomed senior citizens that came to yeah. our church and all kinds of people, we held English services that were, it was almost all people that were in their 20s, maybe yeah. some in their 30s, but that's where everybody yeah. basically was in their life place. A lot yep. of young kids, yep. you know, that's kind of the position that we were. So it made sense for us as a church plant to know that the people that will have the easiest time fitting in will be yeah. English speakers who are probably within 10 years yeah. of the lead pastor, you know, me in this case, within yeah. my age, within 10 years yeah. of my age there. And yeah. we found that was the best way to do something like that, just because they'd be the most likely to respond, the most likely to get connected, and the yeah. best opportunities for us as a church there. We didn't, you know, only target people that identified as people that liked Hillsong music right. or something like right. that, which you can do. You can use those kinds of targeting tools, but I think using at least age and life place targets, I think that's really what's valuable. So yeah. You can target some of their things are around parents. So if yeah. you feel like your church is going to be a great place for families to be, you can use some of Facebook targeting tools to target only parents yeah. of preschoolers. You see, yeah. this is our best opportunity is reaching families that have these kinds of needs. So parents of preschoolers, and then you could actually run specific ads on Facebook that aren't just generic, hey, come out this Sunday or our grand opening is happening here. But you can do ads that are you looking for a place that is a great place for your family to be and yeah. for young kids? And you can have ones that are really tailored and answer that exact need that so many parents of young kids are facing in their lives. So yep. Doing targeted ads, what it does though, it just saves you so much money, is because you're not putting dollars into people that are unlikely to respond. Right. Respond to your messages and unlikely to respond to your ads, but you're investing only in those that are most likely to respond to the ads that you're putting out there. So I hope that yep. makes sense. I feel the confliction about it. It feels right. to me like it's, you know, again, I want to reach everybody. I want to reach people that aren't right. like me. I said English speakers in there, not because we yep. have anything against non-English speakers, but just right. because our services were in English.
Yeah, and then so we didn't translate or anything like that. Yeah,
so. It'd be wasted on someone who only spoke Swahili, right? So it'd right. be it would be something I'd be, have a hard time reaching them, and they probably yeah. wouldn't fit in very well if they couldn't understand anything. So yeah. that's what that's about. Good.
Yeah, good. Well, I'll get the next one here because you covered that very thoroughly. So I think that was good. Invest in signage. This is, you know, print is not totally dead. Signs make sense.
Yes.
And it brought back memories. You were talking about how we planted a church. Well, when we left your living room and decided we need a location, we finally landed on a community center that was kind enough to give us a good setup there. But I remember I was our sign guy. We had this sign that we had to use with bungees in this pavilion type thing that where people would see it from the road. I would go, several hours earlier in the day before church and get our sign up that had our service time and website on it. And this worked. We had a woman come in from said she saw the sign at the exact time she was thinking of finding a new church. And she came and she went to the website after that and then got a feel for things and came and said she found the church she had been looking for years. And then we didn't see her next Sunday, but she did come that one Sunday and told us that it was the church she had always hoped for.
She did come that one time. That was yeah, great. I think she came to a Super Bowl party at my house too, that same lady, but that was about it.
That's why she didn't come back, because she liked the church service but came to the Super Bowl party and then that was it. So, but,
yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, she didn't the jokes yeah. were being told there, or the trash talk.
Yeah, getting back on subject though, yeah, not just a sign for the church outside the church or where you're meeting, but other signage, you know, obviously Especially, actually, I would say, yeah, if a lot of churches that don't have their own building, and you should do these even if you do have, you're fortunate enough as a church plant to have your own building. But if you don't, signage is even more important for where people know where they need to enter in, where the restrooms are, those types of things. I mean, this stuff, people are already kind of apprehensive often when they're visiting a church for the first time. Let's make everything clear and the least amount of confusion as possible is a good thing. So,
yeah. Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. I think just putting money into some of those signs, I wouldn't spend the lion's share of your budget on it, but it's something that you can get some pretty economical signage nowadays. Some of those nice pop-up ones, if you're doing a portable church, really makes a lot of sense to do some of that kind of stuff. So, it's good.
Good.
All right, I'll wrap us up here. Last thing is, and this might surprise people, we say buy some swag. Church plants would do very well to have some swag. And by that, I mean things like t-shirts, hats, cups, pens,
tumblers,
all kinds of things, water bottles, whatever you would do. Number one, they make great gifts when people come for the first time, when you're first launching. I think having that. And then, I don't know, if you make them nice, I think people really would love to be able to promote a new church, especially people that are part of your core team. They love to wear a hat or a t-shirt that highlights. Now, you have to have a good logo. You have to have a cool color palette, those kind of things. That, again, these kind of build on one another.
Right.
But I think anything you invest in there, if you can give a t-shirt to someone and they'd be willing to wear it, you know, once a month, that is so much word of mouth advertising that's happening because it's right there on their t-shirt. If it looks good and it makes someone say, hey, what's that about? Or what is your shirt referring to? It's a great conversation starter. Hats, those kind of things, all really good ideas.
I've seen new churches, like also a lot of church plants that are starting, and this is a great thing to do too, is they do outreaches or they're out in community parks, hand in water bottles, and they've have their t-shirts on with a good logo in it.
Totally.
That stands out to me. You know, even if I have a church home, I'm like, wow, okay, that's a cool new church. They're out in the community. They're meeting needs, and it just makes it's one part of how to brand yourself. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, I really think you'll have a hard time seeing a better investment. Now, if you're going to, I think coffee mugs and those things, that's fine. But I think shirts and hats are great if people will actually wear, if they're good enough for someone to wear, that like the $10 or $15 you spend on a shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that is money well spent if someone's going to wear that and go about their day and be out in town and making relationships. Yep. As long as they're not a jerk, I think that's going to be a really good investment.
Don't give it to
jerks.
That's right. Make sure that people that have your swag are the upright, most coolest people possible. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
Anyway, so. Awesome.
Cool. Anything else to add as we wrap up?
No, I like it. Hopefully this was helpful. And we hope that this reaches aspiring church planters out there. So
yeah, church planters and existing churches. If you miss something,
That too. Yeah.
I know that most existing churches don't do all of these things here.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, it's like the logo thing. I think is something that maybe you've been thinking, we got to do that.
Yeah,
it's a really important thing to do because it everything else rests on that. So
that's good.
Yeah, so hopefully it has been helpful. If it has, it would mean a lot to us if you would rate, review, subscribe, like, comment, do all of those things that you can do on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this. We really thank you guys for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.